Hello and welcome to German Suplex Radio with me, Dieter Wiegner. And today on the show, we're going to be reviewing WWE's Extreme Rules 2021. Let's go. Hello, welcome to the show. Just like I said into the intro, but today we're going to be reviewing Extreme Rules 2021. And what a show it was, I guess. Like, it wasn't amazing, it wasn't terrible. I enjoyed big chunks of the show, didn't enjoy other parts of the show. But when you get a pay-per-view from WWE, especially kind of one of these, middle of the road, it's not one of the big four, you're never fully sure what you're really going to get out of it. And this one, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought we had a lot of good things going on here. We had some great wrestling, which is always good in the WWE show. I'd like to be able to see some of it. I think the camera shots are very jarring now. When you spot it and you just feel that we're changing shot. That production truck must be working overtime. It can be a bit jarring, but I think the wrestling on a whole and some of the stories here were really, really good and really effective. And I think that's only going to serve WWE well going forward. But let's get into it. We'll go through it match by match, and I'll kind of say my thoughts on each one and where I think we're going to go from here, like I tend to do with these reviews. So the first match on the card, so this was on the pre-show, so it got moved from the main card onto the pre-show, was Liv Morgan versus Carmella. Bit of a silly build, bit of nonsensical building towards this. But it was bad in a way that it kind of been moved from that main card, because you've got two really good workers here, Liv Morgan and Carmella. And the crowd here, again, we seem to just be having white hot crowds after white hot crowds at all of these shows, which is good. But the crowd were really into this, and what Liv and Carmella did was build on that nicely. And they let the crowd come in on the stuff they were doing. Nothing overly complicated in the structure of the match. But Carmella's heel work here was really, really good and really got over, and the crowd really bought into that. So it really helped when Liv Morgan started coming back into this and hitting those spots and hitting them with some nice aggression behind them, and those kicks look really nice from her. And we go on to see Liv Morgan winning this match. And it's a shame, because I think we all, or the majority of WWE fans, myself included, would like to see more out of Liv Morgan. We've always sort of said this, she's always been sort of the star waiting in the wings. What are WWE going to do with her? I'm not quite sure. I don't think they know, and I think that's part of the problem. I think Carmella's really good, and she can do a lot of different kind of roles, and she can be a face, she's really good as a heel, and she slots in nicely into the WWE system and is used very well and effectively all over the spots and works with lots of different people. But Liv, there's a star bubbling away, but I don't think they know quite how to capitalize on that, which is a bit of a shame, because if you've not watched the WWE documentary Live Forever around Liv Morgan and you hear her backstory, you can't help but root for her. And she has something in her performances as well, that when you watch her, you get drawn in and you want to root for her. So she has that there. She has that ability to bring you in and allow you to want to root for her. But WWE just aren't quite sure what to do with her. And we've seen it when she was in the Riot Squad, and then moving her away from the Riot Squad and then putting her back together with Ruby Riott, now Ruby Soho in AEW. But they've never quite found it. They've never quite pulled the trigger on it. And if you go and watch that documentary on the WWE Network, Live Forever, it shows kind of a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff of pitches that she's had and the work she goes into building a character and building something, for then it to just be picked up and dropped again. And it's quite sad, in all honesty, because there's a star in the making there, and I'd love to see more of Liv Morgan. And I don't know if she's just a good actor, and like when she wins, you see the look in her eyes in this match in particular, how much it kind of means to her when she's going over and when the crowd are into it like they were tonight. So hopefully we can get a bit more of that moving forward. And it was just a shame that it kind of got, you know, bumped off the main card here, but I wanted to mention it. I didn't want to miss it out, because again, like I say, huge Liv Morgan fan. So hopefully we'll get more and more of her, and hopefully WWE can figure out what they need to do with her, because like I say, star potential's absolutely there. They just need to figure out what to do and where to place her and how to utilize her to the best of her abilities and the best of their abilities. So hopefully we'll get that. Then we come on to The New Day versus Bobby Lashley and AJ and Omos. Now, going into this, wasn't aware this match was happening. I think it was set up actually on the pre-show that we were going to get this match. And when we get The New Day together, they're just so good as a unit, whether that be in six-man tags, trios matches, whatever you want to call it. They work so well as a dynamic, and because we've had them kind of apart, to have them together again, working as a unit, Big E in the middle with the WWE Championship draped across his shoulders, the look there is fantastic, and the way they work together was fantastic, and this match was performed really well. Everyone that's in there besides Omos is capable of having world-class matches at any level. Omos still very green. I'm sure he'll be getting pushed to the moon just because of the size he is. Even when he's walking around the ring sometimes, I think, has there been a glitch in the Matrix? What's happening? How can a man be this big? I'm sure he'll get his opportunity and he'll grow over time. But everyone else in this has already got that, those foundations set. They can perform to the highest level. And we see that in this match. Bobby Lashley especially looked fantastic. And I think they've done a really good job of rehabilitating him after his loss. His anger towards Big E is there. It's palpable. All of the big spots were built around those two, like, tangling or about to tangle. And it really sets up for the future. And that's what we're going to be getting on Raw. So The New Day go over. I'll go into the finish in a little bit and explain that. But The New Day go over here and we get the build to Bobby Lashley and Big E going one-on-one for the WWE Championship. And that, I think, if they're given the time, I think they're putting it at the first match on Raw tonight. That's going to be an absolute banger. Two units, two incredible athletes going at it. And I think that'll be brilliant to watch. I'm really looking forward to watching that one tonight. But in this match, what do we get? We get a New Day being the New Day. Absolutely fantastic. Kofi taking crazy bumps and being slapped out of the air by Omos. Lovely little bits. And it's the old, can the team that's not a team in Bobby and AJ and Omos, can they coexist? Of course, the answer is no. Bobby Lashley gets too frustrated. He tags himself in. He ends up then spearing AJ Styles by accident, which allows Big E to set up the big ending. So he gets that visual pinfall over Bobby as well, which just furthers that story of, can Big E do this when it's one-on-one? Is it just that he cashed in that bank when Bobby Lashley, and quite rightly points out, had an injured knee after the match, and when he cashed in, wasn't necessarily a face thing to do. But Big E plays it really well, and you see this later on in the show when Big E's cutting a promo, and he's quite like, you need to be ready. Like, you can give me all the excuses of why you weren't ready that time. You're going to get your match one-on-one, and I'm going to show you why I'm the champion and you're not. So this match, really, really nice to watch it. It was like a Raw main event. I don't mean that in necessarily a bad way, but it was given the time. It was given the 20 sort of minutes or so to build, and you felt like it had, they'd spent a show in and of itself building towards this match. And then when it finishes, it leads in nicely to where we're going on Raw. So it ties in for bringing viewership to Raw on Monday. And hopefully we'll, I mean, Bobby just looks great. He always looks great. And I want to see more of him. And I want to see more of Big E. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go and how they play it. We're probably not going to get a clean finish. I'll be surprised. On Monday, I'm sure there'll be some shenanigans. It's WWE and it's Raw. So who knows what they'll book for Monday. But hopefully they'll get given the time as they did here. It shows that they have faith in these two, in Bobby and Big E, that they gave them the time in this match to put on a banger. So hopefully they'll give them the time on Raw to put on another banger. And we can see where that develops. And hopefully that'll be just a nice touch from WWE to actually acknowledge these two, because they're both fantastic, like I say, to watch. And I think we can build and build and build on their rivalry. I think they'll probably separate ways a little bit and we'll get something else. But it's nice to see that Bobby's not just dropped the championship and then he's gone and he's doing something else and he's in like a mid-card feud and he's going back after Sheamus. I don't know. But it's nice that we're getting this and that he's not been forgotten about. And I'm sure that Vince loves him. I mean, he's a body guy, so Vince loves body guys. He's an athlete at that, so I'm sure we'll be getting lots more of Bobby Lashley and hopefully lots more of Big E title reign. Long may it last, because I'm really enjoying it at the moment. Then we get the Tag Team Championship match of the Street Profits versus the Usos. And I think we all kind of knew what was going to happen in this match going into it. I think that as soon as we saw Montez Ford's ribs taped up, we knew where this was going. And in the sense of how the match was structured, it was very typical WWE, in that we have one of the faces being beaten down, building towards them getting back into the match, and that the crescendo of the end. But the work here from the Street Profits and the Usos, it's second to none. When the Usos want to go, boy, can they go. They really give it everything. Everything's hit to a T. You really feel the shots land, feel the slams hit, you feel the moves just working nicely. And the Street Profits are crazy athletic, so everything they hit as well, similar story. So when you have two incredible tag teams delivering a pace that these guys set here and the beatings that they landed on each other, you get a fantastic match. Like I say, nothing crazy in terms of structure and storytelling, but just done really, really well. Like, if you want to see what good tag team match looks like in WWE, go and watch this. You'll enjoy it from start to finish. You'll understand the story they're trying to tell. The face and heel dynamics are on show here, and it's really nice to see that. So what happens in the finish? So Montez Ford does his lovely, huge frog splash. Because his ribs are hurt and they've been beaten down in this, it actually hurts him. So it ends up leading to a beautiful interruption, actually, of the pinfall attempt. And a nice shot there. And then we go into the double super kick for the Usos to win the match. I think we all knew that the Usos were probably still going to win here. It would have been a bit of a shocker if they dropped the titles at this point, considering the run that the Bloodline's going on. But it was really well structured, like I say, very fundamentally structured, very simple, but done to perfection. So I'd say go and check that one out if you're into tag team matches and you want to get a nice understanding of how WWE present their tag team wrestling, because it was definitely that, a good showcase for that division. I think there's a lot in that division that goes unsung, so it's nice again to see when those matches are on that people are into them, and I know I definitely was, and this crowd certainly was for this. So what do we get after that? So we get the Raw Women's Championship. So we get Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte. Now, I'd not spent much time watching the build for this, and I know that there was a lot of kind of hate of the build and the Alexa Bliss character in general, and lots of stories of people walking out of arenas on segments on Raw with Lily the Doll. But for me, like, Charlotte Flair is one of the best wrestlers to do it. She's fantastic. I know people criticize, is she a face, is she a heel? But for me, I just think of her as a heel, regardless. Like, she's really good at that. And that's the way I kind of position her in my head. I know it's hard to then think of Alexa Bliss in this scenario being the good guy with all of her like shenanigans, as I keep saying. She get that printed on a t-shirt with Lily and those kind of bits. But fundamentally, what do we get here? We get an Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair match. Two absolutely outstanding workers in any division. And that's what we get. And it's almost as if Charlotte, I know she kind of alluded to it, bringing up how Alexa Bliss used to be, but we get Charlotte pulling out the wrestling almost of Alexa Bliss, and we build that match up that way. And it's, you even see Charlotte doing some of Alexa's old move sets, to kind of almost as if to remind her, like, you're a wrestler, like, this is how I'm going to get to you. We're going to get to a wrestling match, and I'm a better wrestler. That's how I'm going to beat you. None of this Lily stuff, like, that's not what's going to get me to victory here. It's by wrestling the wrestler. But to wrestle the wrestler, lots of wrestlers there, but to wrestle the wrestler, I have to bring the wrestler out of you so that we can keep doing this, going backwards and forwards, because I know that I am technically a greater wrestler, there's the word again, than you are. But then the ending happens, and it's like we've done all of this great work and laid out this lovely, quite frankly, lovely story. Like, it's there for you to see with the technical skills on display from both of them as they've worked up to this match and worked up to the crescendo. But then this is where it falls off a cliff for me, because you've then got Charlotte Flair using Lily as a distraction almost to get in Alexa's head, but that's not what she's been doing for the whole match, because she stayed away from that stuff, and it was purposely done. And then so is this her luring her into thinking about wrestling and then just quickly switching it back to the, you know, I don't know what the right word is for it, but back to the supernatural stuff, bringing it back to that and throwing that in Alexa Bliss's face to then get the victory. But it was almost like a last-ditch kind of effort from Charlotte, like, oh, I'm not, this actually isn't working, I'm not going to get the victory here quick, I know what I'll do, I'll just rip up Lily and hopefully that'll work. So I don't know what they were trying to execute with that ending, like the story they were telling throughout the match, like I could follow it and it was lovely. Like I say, it's Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair. Who doesn't want to see that as a match? Absolutely fantastic. And they did really, really good wrestling. Like, you couldn't say otherwise. But then that ending, we get that. And then we get Charlotte going over. And then what follows that is Alexa Bliss having a meltdown. But we spend so long on it that it just was like, we're not cutting away. I presume that they were like, we're going to try and give this time to breathe, get over and build some emotion on this. Either that or they had something else planned that had fallen off a cliff in the back. But you can see Alexa Bliss is supposed to have some sort of foam coming out of her mouth at the end, because she's got like a white tablet thing in her mouth, and that's not quite worked as they probably would have wanted. At first I was like, she had a white tongue for the whole of this match, I've just not noticed. But then I realised what it was, and it was supposed to be like she was foaming at the mouth, frothing with like anger and emotion that Lily's, you know, gone. I think the crowd, Cattell, kind of were just taking the piss, in all honesty, with the thank you Lily chants. So they went into this, and if you look on Twitter while it was happening, people are like, are we still on this? Like, are we going to move on? So it was there for a long time. I didn't know if it was just me, so I kind of went out of my way to see what other people online were saying. But it wasn't just me. But I don't know if we're gonna drop it there, if we're going to double down on the Lily stuff, if we're going to get more of that, we're going to get a change for Alexa. Like, Alexa's one of my favorite wrestlers on the roster. Like, I think a lot of the stuff she's been involved in is great. I think her heel work with Nia Jax, when Nia Jax was a face leading to that WrestleMania feud, was brilliant. And I'd love more of that. And she's a great worker, and that's what we got here. It was just a shame that it was the ending that we got. It just ruined it a little bit for me. And to be fair, I was surprised at how good the match was. I mean, it shouldn't be. Again, it's Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair. But I was a bit surprised at what we got, and I thought what we got was great just until that ending. So if we could have more of what came before that, yes, please, give me more of that. But that wasn't what we got, and the fact that they spent so much time on that ending just shows that's probably going to be the direction we're going to go in. We're going to probably get more of it. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see where we go from here, which I guess is always a good thing. It's always nice to be intrigued, even if you're not necessarily enjoying what they might be presenting, but it's always nice to be intrigued, to find out what happens and keep us all invested. And hopefully they'll give me something that I like at the end of it. Like I say, I really do like Alexa Bliss, so hopefully we'll get more of her old character, I guess. Wishful thinking, perhaps. But then, what do we have? We have the US title. So we've got Jeff Hardy, Sheamus, and the champion Damian Priest in a triple threat match. sadly, this match was, you know, plagued by a few botches. And it is what it is. You're going to get it, but it kind of takes you out of the match when you have multiple botches like that. And then God bless Sheamus. Like, what a man. I mean, he just was like, screw that. I don't know if he'd like come up with that before, but it was like he was reading the room. And he was like, you know what we need? We need someone to be a GIF that's not a botch. So when he's up on the top rope and he's doing his impressions of Jeff Hardy, his kind of like unglorious, but yet somehow glorious movements on there, doing imitations of Jeff with the hand throwing and the finger guns, just so funny and kind of drew people back in. And then kind of, I mean, I did. I was like, oh, maybe we'll get Sheamus to just win here because he's saved what was a bit of a dull match with some botches into just a hilarious like moment. And that's what you'll remember from this. You won't then remember those botches. You'll remember Sheamus being hilarious on the top rope. We're probably going to get that spot again. We'll see. It depends if Vince liked it or not. Again, I'm not sure if that was planned or Sheamus was reading the room and was like, how do we get everyone back on side? Because then from that point on, it was like we were back on the tracks and we were doing well and we led up to a lot of near falls. I mean, going into this, you kind of assumed what was going to happen, but what they did was give you that element of doubt, which is always what you need in a wrestling match to get invested. Without that element of doubt, you don't care less. So they managed to get that back on the rails here. And we used, to quote Simon Miller, the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment in the roll-up on Sheamus after he'd landed a few bro kicks that hadn't paid off. Jeff Hardy had taken one, gone onto the outside of the ring. Damian Priest rolls him up for the 1, 2, 3. So again, where do we go from here? I feel like Damian Priest is managing to just be involved in fun moments. And this was one of them. I know it was more of a Sheamus moment, but this kind of saved him a little bit from what could have been a bit of a dull affair. Now people will probably remember this match because of the comedic element to it, should we say. Probably not necessarily what they wanted going in, but it worked nonetheless. Sheamus, for me, is just fantastic. So hopefully we'll get more of him because of this. We'll probably continue this sort of three-way feud, and or we'll splinter off and we'll have Jeff and Sheamus continue to feud, and we'll probably get a similar spot where he does that and no doubt attempt a swanton bomb and miss and have hilarious facials when he slams the mat, which would be great. But not sure if we'll just continue the three-way kind of dance we've got going on between these three, or we'll see someone new kind of enter that fold in that US title picture. But I guess that remains to be seen. But still enjoyable. Not the best match, like I say, but God bless Sheamus here. He pulled this one out of the bag for me and just saved it and got us over the line, kept me entertained. So well done to Sheamus on that one for his efforts of hilariosities, and he's got to be a GIF now. I haven't looked, but he's got to be. Yeah, it's too funny for it not to be. So then what do we get? We get the SmackDown Women's Championship, so Becky versus Belair. Now the build to this has had some fun elements, like it's Becky. Becky's always going to be hilarious with some of the stuff she does, mirroring Conor McGregor here with some of her lines, some of her kind of eccentric outfit choices in the build up to this, which has been quite fun to watch. I think that character, if we allow it, can grow. I think we have to allow it to grow. It's hard because we all want to cheer Becky, and the crowd wants to cheer Becky and don't want to fully embrace her as a heel. We kind of want her as that anti-hero, as that Austin who will do heelish things, but you don't care because they're doing heelish things to people that you don't like. But here we're trying to go full heel. So we kind of have to try and let Becky do that. It's hard because, again, we all love Becky and it's not really what we want. But if anyone can do it, it's Becky Lynch. So let's see where that goes. And like I said, that build-up has been enjoyable. The bits that weren't enjoyable for me is Bianca Belair having to kind of be like, yeah, I'm really embarrassed about what happened. You beat me in like 26 seconds, but I'm not going to be embarrassed anymore. It just doesn't sit well for me. She's then beaten in like her hometown and all of this sort of stuff. Like Bianca Belair, we built her to a point where she was this, not necessarily assassin, but just outstanding athlete that shouldn't be trifled with. And we got that beautiful WrestleMania match, like one of the best matches I've seen in years, headlining like night one of WrestleMania this year. And like that's a match that I've watched multiple times. And I think Sasha Banks will come on to into a bit. And Bianca Belair together, the chemistry, everything just clicked that night. And I think they can do that again. But we shouldn't be just taking the title off Belair and not having her get any kind of comeuppance, that's not the right word, that would be what Becky would need to get, but getting some kind of retribution for that. And like here we kind of build towards like that's might what be happening, that's might what we might get on this night. And we have again a great match. We've got two outstanding individuals in the ring in Becky and Belair. And Belair just I know like everyone says it, but you kind of have to say it and you have to marvel in it. All of the athleticism that Belair brings to a match, like 15 minutes in, picking Becky up from just the dead ground and just lifting her up. Becky sells it well. Like, are you kidding me? What are you capable of here? And we build the match kind of around that. It's the similar sort of thing that you get with the Sasha Banks sort of things. Yes, Sasha targeted the hair more, but this was more around Belair being that athlete that's unstoppable and Becky having to use her veteran skills and try and get the submissions and kind of ground her opponent there and try and wear down that arm to get the disarmor. And they're building a really nice match, a really nice pace. And we get into like those ebbs and flows where it starts. You start seeing those near falls, near submissions, near finishes. And we have the disarmor on. And then Belair goes to pick her up for a finish. And then Sasha Banks comes out. Huge pop. Who doesn't love Sasha Banks? Huge pop. But then we get the DQ finish because she comes in and just lays waste. And she's like, I'm back. I'm coming for this title. And we're probably going to build to the triple threat there. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't be doing that. I don't think they've got a different course they could possibly go with. But it's a bit of a shame that we've done this to Belair because it's lost a lot of her steam. And that's saddening. I mean, we want to see her succeed and do well. And we've kind of put a dampener on it. Like, this would have been a good moment for her to regain some of that. But obviously, they don't want Becky just to drop the titles straight away. They wouldn't have put it on her that quickly. She was just going to drop it again. But that was almost the story they were telling, and they booked themselves into that situation. And then you give her a DQ here, and I'm hoping to give them the benefit of the doubt because I'm excited about the three-way match. Like, I think that will work nicely. I think those three especially will be able to put on a fantastic match, and we'll be able to see that build. And this was a bit of a preview of that, like a bit of a preview of the stuff that Becky and Belair can tell. And we've already seen what Belair and Banks can tell. So what can they all do together? Hopefully we can build from here. But it is worrying that they've done what they've done in terms of booking to Belair. Because it just doesn't set her up to be, again, it's all about building these stars and building these characters that you want to be invested in and want to follow. And yeah, she's still young and she's got time on her hands and time on her side. But really stripping that away when she'd had that amazing WrestleMania moment, to just strip it away is a little bit upsetting. Then it's the main event of the evening. It's the Demon Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns. Now these two for me, secretly, are two of my top guys in WWE, if you like. Absolutely love both of them. I think Roman as this heel has flourished. Don't tell anyone, I've always kind of liked Roman Reigns. I fortunately kind of dropped off at the points where they were really trying to push him and everyone just hated him. So I kind of came back in at a nice little point, and where we kind of got to see people were kind of okay with Roman, and I kind of got to enjoy him for what he was and enjoy the skills that he has in the ring. And the way he can craft stories and tell stories, I got that side of things. And then obviously he went away with the leukemia stuff, which just drew me in more to the guy. How could you not root for this guy going through that kind of thing? being that role model for anyone out there dealing with something like that, coming back and doing what he did there, and then also, you know, from a personal point of view, going away when the pandemic happened and saying, look, I can't compete, I can't do WrestleMania. For him to do that takes balls. And then now we're getting the character coming back as a heel. And I remember when he came back, I know the teeth were distracting for a while, but he came back looking super hench, nice tight fit t-shirt, just laying waste to Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. Beat their asses so hard they're no longer in the company. And then we've built off that character from there. And I think we can all agree he's now showing why he's the top guy. I mean, you just look at the guy. If you were going to build a wrestler, you'd build Roman Reigns. Let's be honest here. And I think he's been allowed now to flourish in this role as a heel. So that's why I like Roman. I mean, what more do I need to say on that? And then Finn Balor, absolutely outstanding. Like, his run in Japan, some of the work there, really, really good. The run in NXT, I don't even know what to say. It's like a great time to watch Finn do Finn stuff. And then we got the lore of the demon. Yes, he, you know, worn the face paint at like Wrestle Kingdom, but there's no like lore into that. Whereas we built the demon in NXT, really, like in terms of the lore about it and him having to go to this dark place to draw on this dark energy that he doesn't want to do because it kind of hurts him and hurts who he is. But he knows sometimes what is needed to get the job done. Going into this, we've kind of seen a little bit more tongue demon. You can almost imagine Vince being like, well, you're a demon. Let me see your tongue. A demon would have a big demon tongue. So we've kind of got a bit more of that, which isn't great in my opinion, but was excited to see what they could do here. I think we definitely all didn't call that finish, which we'll come on to. But we definitely kind of knew where we were going. Like, we've got Brock Lesnar, Roman at Crown Jewel sort of booked in. So we knew that Finn wasn't probably going to go over here. It would have been a huge shock. And we kind of booked ourselves into the whole, well, no one can really lose here because we're going to kill the demon streak. Are we going to kill Roman Reigns off like what he's doing? Like, something's got to give there. You can't do a disqualification because it's an Extreme Rules match. So what can you do? Well, what we got was kind of crazy. So it's a standard affair of an Extreme Rules match, in all honesty. It's kind of paint by numbers. You know what you're going to get. Don't get me wrong here. Like, the stuff that Roman and Finn do is executed to perfection. But in terms of layout, it's almost a bit like you're playing a video game and you kind of know where you're going, and we build up that way, and it's like, right, point B, point A, and we kind of go through it. And then we kind of get to the end. We get the demon hits the coup de grace. The Usos pull him out, and you think, all right, okay, we definitely know where we're going now. That was like, he's hit his finisher. We know where he's not got it. We're going to get the interference kind of angle here, and that's how we're going to protect the demon. That's not what we get. We get the demon kind of coming back, beating down the Usos, putting them through tables. And then we get the demon just being speared from the barricade in our oh my god moment. The crowd super into it. And then we get the red light that WWE has realized they've now got this red light. They've spent it on the Fiend, and the Fiend might not be there, but they're going to use it again. So we get the red light, and we get the demon heartbeat. It's like it's giving the demon his power back. And it builds up and he gets up. Huge pop for him getting up. He shotgun drop kicks Roman through the table. And that, again, very nicely executed by both here. Because the way Roman takes that bump through the table to go up and over the leg of the table and nicely land in the middle. Mwah! Beautiful stuff. And then we get the build-up, the red light's still on. There's now mist. Finn Balor's music's like playing, the demon's music's playing softly in the background. As he gets Roman in the ring, he climbs the rope to go for the coup de grace. And then the top rope breaks. And down he goes, and Roman spears him, and one, two, three. There's no explanation for the rope breaking, I should say. Will we get one? I don't know. It's WWE. The commentators did keep referring to it as some kind of malfunction. People online have speculated, oh, it's Paul Heyman cutting it down. It's The Fiend. Will we get something? I don't know. I don't know if they were trying to do, Roman did a little bit of a look up, like there was some sort of divine intervention. And it's like, the gods are looking favorably on me. I don't know if we were supposed to be like, he's gone so dark that we've had to have some divine intervention because the demons become too powerful in that instance. I don't quite know what they were trying to tell us. They were clearly trying to protect the demon in some way, and that's what they came up with. The problem I have with that is, you guys booked this. You booked yourself into this corner, and this is what you're going to give us at the end. You're putting two top guys in this position. Now, it's great that they feel the need to protect the demon, because they could very easily not and have Roman run through him, but it's like, well, we see the demon as a star, but not at the moment because we've got Roman, but we're not quite sure what to do. So we'll put them together and we'll have the rope break and he falls and hurts himself. And then that kind of protects him, because it's not, you know, it's not a real way to lose a match. It's an Extreme Rules match where you've got the Usos there on the side. So I'm sure you could have booked something that made the demon look super strong in defeat. But it's, again, it's all huddled together to try and protect both of them. Or try and mainly protect the demon because he's going to be losing. But doesn't really do him any favours, in all honesty. A very divisive finish. And we're probably just going to move on to Brock Lesnar at Crown Jewel now. It'd be nice if we got an actual resolution to that, because I think saying, oh, well, the ring, you know, just malfunctioned, as the commentators said, top rope malfunctioned. Like, in a, for it just to randomly malfunction, it's never malfunctioned like that before. For it to malfunction, wow, you've got two huge superstars in a main event. Right, really? You're going to have us, you know, buy into that? Not for me. And again, it's always nice to have a talking point. I'd love to know what you guys think about it. So message me on Deets316 on Instagram. And sometimes it's nice to watch these things and have something that you feel invested in to talk about, like I am now. But at the same time, I'd much prefer to have sat here and had just a normal Finn Balor Roman Reigns match that was those two guys putting on an absolute belter and Roman going over and looking strong. And Finn losing. We didn't have to have the demon here. Yes, it kind of makes sense because of the point Roman's at. But then you have to book something that makes sense at the end of it. Not just, let's have him fall off the top rope and hurt his knee. But having said that, again, like, as a match, it was fine. Like, I'm not putting down these two as workers here. Really, really good. It's annoying when we kind of get those kind of finishes sometimes. Especially when we already know what, like, the next feud is for Roman. That's already, like, been laid out for us. But we'll see where we go from here, I guess. I don't really know what you're supposed to do with the demon from this point. Like, we'll probably just have the demon disappear for a bit and Finn Balor move slightly down the card, I would imagine. Which is a bit of a shame. Like, it's, again, I say it's nice that they see him as a star, but when will that moment come? He's not getting any younger. He's been away, like, down in NXT, clearly was needing to feel a bit more fulfilled from his wrestling. I could imagine him at some point when his contract's up going to AEW to potentially get that. I know that's not really a big take. I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, who's going to go to AEW next? But I think the signs are there with Finn. And I think he's probably earned quite a lot of money being the demons. I'm sure he sold a lot of t-shirts, a lot of masks, and a lot of merchandise. And he'll have got a nice cut of that, hopefully. So I think he's pretty much set. So it's what he wants to do moving forward. He can still go. I mean, we've seen that with the Kyle O'Reilly match in NXT when they just beat Seven Bells out of each other. It would be interesting to see what you could do with Creative Freedom over in AEW. The lore of the demon might work over there. It might not. They'd probably have to do it more around sort of war paint and his mindset than going into supernatural as they kind of lean into in WWE, which would be interesting. But I'm not quite sure where we go with him moving forward in WWE. They've kind of shown a hand and there's nowhere else for them to go other than back down and just bide their time to then have the demon do a bit of a run. I'm not sure when we're going to get that because Roman's going to be on top for a while. Yes, we've got the draft coming up, so you might see something there. But again, I feel like it'll be a repositioning of where Finn is on the card, which is a bit of a shame. Roman's obviously going to keep running house for a while. I just hope that we don't see him just lose to Brock at Crown Jewel. I want this to ride out. You all know where I want this to go. I want the Rock and Roman. We all want the Rock and Roman. Fingers crossed for Rock and Roman at some point. That's what I want to see. And then we even have Roman go over the Rock in my world. I know, crazy. But we have him go over the Rock. And then we build someone else to beat Roman. I don't know who that person is yet. But then when that happens, it will be glorious, to say the least. So lots of things to get into there. And I guess we'll see where the next chapter is on Monday Night Raw tonight. We've got Bobby Lashley, Big E, like I said before, to look forward to. And on that note, I love you and leave you. And enjoy wrestling. And there we have it, the WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view review by me, Dieter Wiedner, on German Suplex. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show, and if you've got anything that you want to talk to me about, wrestling related or maybe even otherwise, then head over to my Instagram, Deets316, and we'll have a bit of a chat. And thank you very much for listening.